Hey guys, what's good? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I'm Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we are Locked On Clippers.
We
part
are.
Part of the Locked On NBA Network. So if you're just tuning in, we're coming at you 5 days a week. We're your local experts, mostly.
For the most part.
Coming at you with all the Clippers content you can handle. Some, maybe you can't. It's too much to
We've
stomach.
We've had a lot of complaints.
But we got a heck of a show lined up for you today. We're going to start off with a little recap of last night's victory.
Slim dub.
Against the Suns. It was just kind of obvious one team wanted it more for four quarters, and we were able to take it over in OT. From there, today is our Twitter Tuesday segment.
Yeah,
we're going to be talking
takes.
A little bit about Steph Curry's fake moon landing opinions.
I'm on Steph's side,
as well as some other stuff we got in there. And then we're going to be wrapping up with a preview of tonight's action against the Raptors. So you'll want to stay tuned for that. We're going to give you some key things we're going to need to do to win and analyze some matchups. Looks on paper.
Tough.
Like, a little tough.
A little tough.
But all that and more coming up right about now.
Before we get too far into it, I want to give a shout-out to one of our new partners, Metro Infinity. If you're watching and you need a car and you're in California or you want to make the flight out here, check out Metro Infinity. They're at 821 East Central Ave, Monrovia.
Is that just off the 210 in Monrovia?
Just off the 210 in Monrovia. They're the only dealer in California that is family-owned and have been for over 25 years. That is truly mind-blowing. If you don't want to go to the dealership, they'll bring everything to your home or hovel or wherever you're buying your car from. You can sign everything right there. Take your car. Mention Locked On. Get $500 off any car purchase. You can reach them at 626-599-7510 or metroinfinity.com. All right.
Did you throw a hovel at us?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm not even sure I know what that means.
It's like a hole where some people live who might need a car.
people?
Poor people who want to buy a car. So last night, the Suns and Clippers played a thrilling overtime basketball game.
What? I don't think that he's making quotation marks. I don't think it's a quotation mark. It is thrilling.
We won 123-119.
Oh, we're getting a message from a user right now. It says, this is cool. Tell Locke he should do this for the Jazz podcast. All right. Well, David Locke,
we'll
I hope you're
best.
Listening. I hope you're paying attention. We'll send it out there to him.
Quick stats for the game. We ended up winning 123-119 in OT. Tobias.
We are now 4-0 in OT. Sorry
that's huge.
Sorry to interject, but I feel like that is awesome.
That's nice. Tobias shot just short of 60%, which was fantastic, putting up 33-8, only 2 points off of his career high, which is cool. Gallo added 25, which means Tobio had 58 points.
That's the Tobio cushion in full effect.
Shea had 16-4-5 for what was maybe the best game we've seen him play this year.
I think, yeah, he was so impactful, and I felt like he was the biggest.
He was aggressive.
Yeah, he was so aggressive, and he was the biggest factor in clawing this team back into the game. You know, anytime we needed a bucket, Shea was there.
He was finishing. He was doing tons of goofy finishes, like off the wrong foot with the wrong hand, which was cool. For the Suns, DeAndre Ayton led the way with 20-12, which was fairly surprising. Mikal Bridges had 19. Josh Jackson had 18-8. And Okobo had 5 steals.
Oh, wow.
For the Suns, which is pretty crazy.
Really solid. In the post game, I wanted to bring up because I feel like we're going to talk about Avery Bradley in this. I don't know how we can get around that. One of the first things that came out of Doc's mouth was he thought that Avery Bradley was a huge difference maker. There were like 4 or so plays that he thought really turned the game around.
Yeah, I guess.
And like from the eye test, I could definitely see that he was like aggressive defensively. So anemic offensively, though, that I don't even know if it's really worth it, to be honest with you.
I feel like that was maybe Doc getting out. You know, it's like how politicians have like to get out in front of the story.
Oh, absolutely.
I feel like that was maybe Doc being like, before you guys say anything, just real quick.
Just so you know. Just so you know.
Random thought pops
in my
head.
This one's from a real Hoopers.
Everybody, yeah, this is from a day one.
Something really interesting. If you follow the podcast, you know I'm a big fan of Danilo Gallinari, strongest man in the NBA.
Yeah.
Playing the 5 for some limited stretches when we need a lot of offense. And the second most used lineup last night was a lineup with Gallo at the 5, Tobias Harris playing the power forward position, Bradley at the 3, kind of swingman position, and then Beverly and Shea in the backcourt. And they totaled about 11.5 minutes, so almost a full quarter.
Yeah.
And they had the highest plus minus of any lineup at 13.
Dang.
The next closest lineup was 2.
Oof.
So clearly crushed. It was surprisingly, with an athletic center like DeAndre Ayton and with Rashawn Holmes, who I thought played great last night.
He crushed. He was really good.
Before he fouled out. You wouldn't think that this kind of smallish ball lineup would work. I mean, I guess Danilo is practically center sized.
Yeah, he's what, 6'10"?
He's 6'10".
With shoes, called 6'11".
So I don't know. I don't know what to make of this. Doc said in the post game that like it's a lineup that he really likes and he's really excited about. They've unfortunately had the least amount of time together, both in practice and on the court, of any of his like more traditional or like more like go-to
lineups. Yeah, this is a tinkerer's lineup, I would say.
It definitely
is. Which
is
good.
It definitely is.
Because we needed it.
But we can get into this a little later, but I feel like this could be this smallish. What do you guys want to call it? Medium ball?
Yeah, let's call it medium ball.
This kind of medium ball.
Meatball.
Let's call it the meatball.
Yeah, we'll call it the meatball.
The meatball lineup. I think could be key to victory tonight. But we'll talk about that later. In the
meatball
Raptors
lineup.
What else did you want to touch in this game?
So just like a quick overview, this was a classic nail biter, thanks to our lack of defensive intensity that we've somehow been anemic on. Guys were standing around.
Yes.
There were times when there was one Suns player in the paint and three Clippers just kind of watching him bat the ball around, which is so weird to see with guys. And this is with guys like Beverly, Bradley on the floor, like guys who are known to kind of hustle.
Yeah. You had a note in here about you thought Trez played a really poor defensive game.
He has played bad defense the last couple of games.
Yeah.
He's not like, there's a great take on Twitter. It's not lack of hustle. It's not lack of wanting it. It's awareness.
Yeah.
He'll stick, you know, if he's guarding a guy who's not a three-point shooter, he'll stick to them on the three-point line, leaving the paint open, which doesn't really make any sense. And he's leaving guys open on the perimeter.
Yeah,
it's not a big liability, but it's, you know, if he's not playing well offensively, he's not bringing a whole lot to the lineup.
Yeah, he's pretty, I mean, I love Trez. He's a little bit one-dimensional as an offensive player.
We're not
saying
bench him, but just, you know, if he doesn't have it that night on defense, that I think leads to those like tinkery lineups.
Definitely. And a big problem with this roster as a whole is always going to be interior defense. Mm-hmm. I can live with that as long as we can stop the bleeding as much as we can.
Yeah.
Or, you know, be, you know, very aggressive on the other end. But I thought what was interesting is I went into a little bit of the advanced defensive metrics, and Avery Bradley did have the best contested shot percentage. So like,
all right,
when he was actively contesting a shot and they log that, he only allowed like 25%.
That's what's
so
up.
That's pretty solid.
That's great.
Second closest was Shea, and it was around 40%, but he did contest a lot more shots than Avery Bradley, which I thought was interesting.
That is a good trend to see from him. He was fantastic. Defensively, so TJ Warren got ejected fairly early.
Yeah.
For also the refs in this game, if you didn't watch it, were horrendous. TJ Warren seemingly got ejected for literally saying something to the referee.
Yeah.
He got ejected for that. And then at one point, Doc was two steps away from the paint on the court during like a scuffle for the ball when the ball was in play.
So the issue with that was that Tobias had gained possession of the ball. And then with the rule change, a coach can call a timeout from a sideline with possession.
Got it.
It doesn't actually have to be a player. However, for whatever reason, the refs didn't notice the man screaming his lungs out almost in the paint. So that, I don't know. That was
just
a little bit of a wash.
And that's also bad reffing because it's like, notice the timeout. Like,
definitely.
I just feel like the refs overall for both, I mean, most games this year have been bad.
Yeah, piggybacking on this, we would have won this game in regulation had it not been for the dead ball technical, I have never heard of this before.
No, it was insane. Dude.
I had not expected this. If you didn't catch the game, Gallo was going up for a bucket. He got fouled hard in the air, and when he came down, his arms were kind of flailing out, as they might be if
you're
fouled
air.
Hard in the air and are the largest,
strongest
man in the
NBA. Baby.
And he hit someone in the face, and I don't know.
Dead ball technical. The turnovers last night were an absolute killer.
Yeah.
18 in a game.
Yes.
I mean, it's just bad.
It's really bad.
Against a bad defensive team.
Yeah, and the Suns had 15 turnovers, so luckily they didn't really punish us too bad there. The thing is that I'm worried about is tonight. If we have 7 or 8 turnovers in the first half, I think we can have our starters pretty much just hang their jerseys up and not play.
There was
we
a
can
take,
just have garbage minutes. And
there was
take
a take,
it, take the L
on Twitter tonight about how because Lou got hurt. There's a hamstring issue with Lou from the Suns game, which we're still waiting on info on. Someone was tweeting at me that we should sit Tobias, Lou, Bev, and I think it was Shea.
For this game?
For this game. Just call it a wash?
I guess I don't really see the value in that.
If we're getting murdered, like you said, by like the beginning of the second half, sure.
I think if we're down a significant amount and the start of the third quarter isn't boding well, yeah. I mean, this is a little bit of a schedule loss. You're playing the best team in the team with the best record in the NBA on the second night of a back-to-back.
Yeah.
Never going to be easy. But yeah, I don't want to see our guys get overworked or overly tired. It's probably just not worth it. It's an Eastern Conference team.
Yeah. It still would be nice.
But I think it's always good to have those guys get those reps against the teams. That's my one argument for having them in the whole time, even if it's like apparent that we're not going to win the game.
Get those thick reps. We went 7 of 22 from 3. They went 9 for 25. I think against better teams that shoot a more normal amount of threes in 2018 with a better percentage, this is going to be something that maybe kills us.
Yeah. I don't know. I think this number is a little bit skewed. So I think that, you know, we're like a couple threes away from this actually being a pretty good number. And I think if you count out all of the frickin' Patrick Beverly threes, which I don't even count. That doesn't even count as an attempt. That should just count as a turnover.
I'll give you some numbers real quick. Patrick Beverly, 0 for 3 from 3. Avery Bradley, also 0 for 3 from 3.
Yeah. I don't know. I was kind of tweeting back and forth with somebody last night, and I never want to see Patrick Beverly shoot the ball again.
Yeah, it's really bad. He went 2 of 7. Justin Russo had a great tweet where he just said, "I hate watching Avery Bradley shoot the basketball," which I totally agree with. They combined for 6 assists. They didn't contain the Suns whatsoever.
No.
Even they didn't have Warren, they didn't have Booker, and they still kind of got everything that they wanted. Someone just said on the show, "No more Pat Beverly." Yeah, we kind of agree. Maybe not no more, but something different.
He should not be chucking up shots. I realize that in his career, he's had seasons where he's like a high 30s,
good,
near 40 cusp 3-point shooter.
Yeah.
It ain't there, man.
Not today. Not
it
this season. Milos really kind of saved us in this game, which was dope.
I guess great to say. I don't know. I think they were. Is there a chance they were just showing him off against the Suns a little bit to say, "Hey, what do you think about this?"
I think there was. And also, like, since Devin Booker was out, their true scoring guards were kind of out. So this was like a perfect storm situation.
Yeah. Well, and TJ Warren was ejected, and he's generally up there.
It was just an all around, like, we shot 53% of this game, which is great, but we allowed them to shoot 50%.
Yeah.
Which. It was one of the more frustrating games. Even though we won, I think this was maybe the most frustrating game.
Yeah, and the worst news to come out of the game, obviously, was Lou's hamstring injury.
That's tough.
He went to the bench at one point. And
gingerly,
and immediately a trainer came out and kind of pointed him in the direction of the tunnel. And he did not return for the rest of the game.
Questionable for tonight. Kind of hope he doesn't play.
I really hope he doesn't play. I think that they need to take their time with this. The hamstring is nothing to mess around with. Chris Paul had the hamstring injury a couple times, and I still don't think he's the same when he injured that hamstring in, what was it, game 5 or 6 of the Western Conference Finals last year?
Yeah, one of those two.
I don't think it's anything to mess around with. The hamstring stuff is...
It sucks. It's like your back injury.
It really sucks. And, you know, Lou is somebody who relies on creating space and being explosive. There's no need to rush him.
Weird note, actually. Lou Williams is leading the team in assists with 4.5 per game.
Yeah.
That kind of sucks.
We talked about this back and forth. I would definitely like to see that assist number go up.
It's
especially
like
from
good for
Shea.
Lou, bad for Clippers, because that means no one else is really distributing the ball.
Definitely.
Which is frustrating. Seems like the Clippers are maybe entering a frustrating stage of play right now. We were pretty lucky to win this one.
Yeah. You know who, just piggybacking on this assist thing, who has a weirdly low amount of assists? Tobias Harris. For a guy who's so, I mean, like, he's large-sized, we just got a comment. Can Patrick Beverly pull a hamstring, please?
We're not wishing ill will on anyone.
I don't know. We don't want anybody to get injured. But anyways, Tobias Harris, just given his size, I would think would be able to create a little bit more playmaking, especially in post-ups, utilizing him like use modern centers.
Quick positive note about Trez. I was kind of bagging on him earlier about his defense. His low post passing was pretty good in this game. He had a really great feed to Tobias. If he could kind of develop that low post playmaking would be an awesome feature to add to his game.
Yeah.
I don't know how well you develop that. It seems very difficult. Anyway, that's a positive note.
All in all, good win.
Slim dub. It was like a skinny dub.
Yeah.
You want to measure
good
this
win.
One.
It was really nice that the starters stepped up.
So. For sure. Coming up after this, we got Twitter Tuesdays, diving into some takes, diving into some fake moon landing stuff. But first, if you're watching on the live stream or listening right now and you follow multiple Locked On podcasts, you need to check out Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram. It aggregates all the content. You got to Locked On Goulash, hosted by Will, come out next week.
New Goulash.
New Goulash every day. Instagram, it's great for breaking news and stuff like that. You get longer feeds in your stories. Check out Locked On Net on both Twitter and Instagram. So, Twitter Tuesdays. This is a bit of a fun one, I guess.
Yeah.
Steph Curry doesn't think the moon landing was real?
Yeah, he was on the Winging It podcast with Vince Carter and Kim Bazemore, I believe. And he said they were talking about the moon landing being a lie, and Steph agreed and then said that he had to be careful saying that because some people might come and get him.
I agree with Steph. You ever been to the moon? You know anyone who's been to the moon?
I got to say, A, you don't have to worry about somebody coming to get you. This is like...
For saying the moon landing's...
This is a really pretty common belief among a lot of people. It's just not true.
Oh, yeah, the moon landing, not true.
No, this belief that the moon landing isn't
Will Updike
true
doesn't
is
believe
true.
In the moon landing. I joined late. What's your take on Trez not playing at the end of the game?
Defensively, Trez didn't really have it in the Suns matchup. But
is
back,
that John Cooperman? Shout out John Cooperman.
But back to the fake moon landing stuff. It would have been impossible for them to, in a studio, fake it.
I mean, I don't know, man. Stanley Kubrick was a pretty good director.
There was a... I watched a program. It's Adam Ruins Everything. Where they had a forensic, like, videographer person. And he analyzed the rays of light. And it's clearly coming from...
Rays of light.
It's, like, clearly coming from an unfiltered sun source. So there's no way that they would have been able to fake it. Because, to recreate the same amount of light, it would have taken, like, thousands of LED lights, which they did not have in the 60s.
It's the government.
I don't believe it, man. It's fake.
No, yeah. Yeah, the moon landing probably for sure happened. I just don't know anyone who's been, so I'm still 50-50 on it.
You're an idiot.
So, moon landing, still up for debate. Let us know what you think in the comments. Branching off of that into something that transitions well, Clippers were talking about their best skills outside of basketball.
Yeah, pretty
Some
interesting.
Some of these were weird.
I want to save Tobias's for last because it's low-key my favorite.
So, but, Shea said drawing.
How which wholesome. I wouldn't have guessed.
The AI piece that came out in the Players Tribune. He talked about how anytime someone would make fun of him, he would just like draw a mean caricature of him. He's like a really good drawer.
Interesting.
So he would like go get his pens and like
I want to see some of this stuff. Yeah, I want some Shea originals hanging in my foyer.
Yeah, how much does a Shea drawing cost? If anyone out there has the hookup, let us know.
Trez said fishing, which I loved.
Oh, I would love nothing more than
the
grabbing the reels, cracking a couple Miller Lights open, maybe some Bud Heavies, and catching a few big mouth bass. That'd be fucking awesome.
Luke Mbamute has a very varied skill set outside of basketball. God. He said,
I'm just reading this now.
He said woodworking, cooking,
cool.
And learning to play the sax, which I don't know if that counts as a skill, but who knows? I really want to see Luke laying down some fat sax tracks.
I'm not sure if Luke is married, but this sounds like hobbies of trying to find a significant other.
Oh, yeah. These are, if you're looking for a partner, Luke Mbamute has got the skills.
All right. Do you want to say Tobias's?
And Tobias Harris's, I thought, was the most interesting. He said reading other people and kind of like empathizing with their emotions, which...
That's a weird response,
I love it. I love it. Hey, what's up to... I can't read any of the usernames.
That
but.
Is like what a robot or an alien would say of like, what do you do for fun? I learn human emotion.
No. So as someone that we're about to give a near max contract or max contracts to, this is exactly what I want to hear. He's a guy who can read the room. He's a guy who is emotionally available. Great. We already love Tobias on this show. Love him more. Oh. Pat Beverly's skill, missing every shot he takes. Yeah, seems about right.
I had some takes on Twitter. We can get into this real quick. Kind of want to put more time towards the game preview. A lot of people saying we should maybe trade Bradley. Saw an idea for Bradley, a second, and Mike Scott for Eric Gordon on Twitter. Someone gave me that take. What do you think of that?
I don't know. Eric Gordon's in a shooting slump.
And I think that the defensive drop-off is a little too much for that first unit if we get rid of Bradley. Because Bradley can play great defensively.
Yeah, I don't think Eric Gordon is worth Bradley and Scott.
I agree. Or a second round pick. Coming up after this, we're doing a preview of tonight's game of Grand Strappers. But first, if you're traveling outside of sunny LA this holiday season and you need warm clothes, I sure as hell do, check out Action Heat. They got like heat activated, like electric.
Yeah, it's like it's active heating with that's like electronically powered. It's really pretty cool.
Save 20% off on your entire order. Just go to actionheat.com/lockedon or use the coupon code LOCKEDON at checkout to save 20%. Shout out to Action Heat.
So, tonight against the Raptors.
Tonight, as Phil Collins would say.
Yes.
quick note. Found out Nick Nurse's mom passed away yesterday. But plans to be at the game. Condolences to him as a family.
That seems rough.
So sad.
The NBA schedule really takes no prisoners.
Yeah, like first night of a back-to-back. Anyway, get used to it. So he's in Toronto right now, presumably. He's going to be back for the game. Condolences to him. Anyway, go ahead.
So, all right.
What's going to happen tonight?
Man, I don't know. One thing that I think is really interesting is that our defensive coordinator was old... I think semi-long-term Raptors defensive coordinator, Rex Kalamian.
Yeah.
He's installed a completely new system, which we can go into the intricacies of in another episode. But I'm really interested to see how they're able to pick apart the Raptors defense just knowing what's going on.
For sure. Kawhi might rest this game. He's currently listed as questionable, but the assistant coach said he will probably play.
I would guess if I was a betting man, I would guess that we will see Kawhi tonight. He has been an absolute monster lately. I think he's averaging 31 a game for through the last six games.
Yeah,
which is unheralded.
So what do we need to do to win?
We're gonna need to play up.
God,
we're gonna need to go back to kind of overachieving like we were at the beginning of the season. We can't have a sloppy quarter. I mean, we say that all the time, but we're gonna really need to be locked in for all four quarters.
Yeah, and we gotta be more aware on defense.
Yeah,
we gotta. You know, the rotations are kind of goofy right now. This is a team we can't. This goes right into the next point you put up: limit turnovers.
Yeah. So the Raptors are 27th in the league when it comes to forcing turnovers. So any turnovers we commit are, you know, going to be wholly on us.
Yeah.
So
and they're a team that they're low on this stat, but they will punish you.
Yeah, I do think that they will be able to convert pretty handedly on any turnovers that we allow. So that's going to be really, really important to just handle the ball well. I was thinking that we might take an unorthodox approach a little bit and maybe go for a bunch of mid-rangers.
Why not? Shea's got the release.
The Raptors' defense, at least, this is based solely on my eye test, is really built for like the modern pace and space league.
These days?
So they're really built for like guarding around the perimeter, that kind of stuff. I think if we're able to kind of kick the ball around and then, you know, Tobias is just so comfortable in the mid-range.
And Shea.
As a Shea, if we can kind of slow down those possessions, you know, and not jack up the early three, make the extra pass. And then if we're taking those mid-range shots, you know, if we're slowing down the clock and scoring, I don't know what more you could ask for.
I'm into that. I like this note. Take them to overtime.
Oh yeah, seriously. Let's take the Raptors to overtime. I feel like that's our best shot at winning.
Cut off passing lanes, make Lowry score. He had a terrible game last game. So maybe we can kind of piggyback off that funk that he may or may not be starting to get into.
Yeah, definitely. We got to eliminate easy buckets. We got to watch out for Serge and Valachunas.
Great soda, great player. What could go wrong? My note, we only take 26 threes and we hit less than 30% of them.
Yeah.
That we're going to lose if those two things happen. And then our backcourt just gets cooked.
I don't know that that's going to happen.
I hope it doesn't. It could go wrong, though.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
It's just I want Bradley to get back into his defensive prowess that he was. Like we've said on here before, our guys feed from the offensive side because of the defensive side.
Definitely.
So we're going to need to be locked in on defense very early if we're going to not. If we're within 4 or 5 points at half, I love it. I love our chances.
Yeah. If they if they're making a high percentage of threes, they take within the top five in the league, but their percentage is right around the middle. It's like it's nothing that great. But if they're really hitting and they're really in sync from 3-point range, it could be a long night.
Key matchups.
I mean, obviously bench versus bench.
This is gonna be fun to watch.
Toronto has a really well documented bench. We are down our lead scorer on the bench.
The bench's play has been kind of rough lately.
I don't expect it to be any better tonight. I think that tonight is going to be a night where Doc gets to tinker with some lineups. Mm-hmm. But
maybe see the meatball lineup.
I hope we get to see some meatball lineup. But expect Gallo, Tobias, probably Shea, definitely Bradley to all put up some big minutes. I don't really know how this bench is going to be able to fire on all cylinders missing such a key player.
Yeah, we somehow have to win the non-Kawhi Lowry minutes to have a chance. But that will be remain to be seen if we can do that. Lowry versus Bradley.
I think this is a really favorable matchup for Avery Bradley.
Yeah.
Kyle Lowry is in his 30-whatever-th year.
playing basketball or
no,
life?
Of age. Of age. Of life. So he's, you know, he's definitely a lot slower. You know, Bradley is a little, what's the saying? Old in the tooth?
Long in the tooth.
Long in the tooth as well. But he's got so much length on Lowry that I think that that's a really pretty favorable matchup. I think any time, like if he's able, if he's forcing Lowry to shoot, if we force Lowry to win this game,
that'll be nice.
I think that that, like, I think that our chances of winning are very, very high.
And with Kawhi maybe not playing a full game, could happen. Kawhi versus Tobias.
Yeah, so ooh. I would guess that Kawhi is most likely going to be guarding Tobias as you, I mean, if they're familiar with the Clippers.
Yeah, you don't want him on the strongest guy in the league, Gallo.
I think that Kawhi's length is going to wreak havoc on our ball movement. Longer yeah. teams.
He's so damn good.
Longer teams lately have just been giving us a whole lot of trouble. And I think that if he gets in Tobias's head early, it could definitely be bad. I think it's going to be really important for Tobias actually to step up defensively and make Kawhi respect him on the other end.
Yeah, so more aggressiveness. I think we're going to be doing like maybe that weird soft double on Kawhi that we sometimes do to teams.
Yeah.
Which would be cool to see if it's working.
Yeah.
If the communication is up to par. What's your prediction for tonight?
Oh man, I don't even know. I want to say that it's going to be like 118 to 115 Clippers.
I like that. I am going to go the opposite route, sadly. I'm going to say buck 20, buck 15 Raptors.
All right.
Close, but no cigar, alas. Guys, that does it for us on the Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Listen in Monday through Friday. Tomorrow, we're going to have a recap of the hopeful fat dub against the Raptors, taking a look at what could have been in the Errol universe and some general NBA and Clippers talk.
Thanks so much for tuning in, guys. I'm William the Opinion Updike.
And I'm Positive Chuck Mockler. Thanks, y'all.